That's pretty crazy. But the fires, I was listening to this video where they were talking about the effects of this on real estate that I thought was pretty interesting. Why can't people just do what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it? Why is it? Is it my expectation, TK, that's off? Should I expect people to, when somebody, if somebody says, "Daryl, I'm going to send that to you by four," should my expectation be, "No chance I'm getting that by four"?
I would say that you do have reasonable expectations, okay? Based on some of the interactions though you've had with specifically flooring contractors, but
Yes.
other types of people, you
Other
know,
types of people.
maybe you just don't have a good picker.
A good picker?
Yeah. You
Well,
know,
if
maybe like your expectations are good, but you're just the people that you're picking.
lousy picks. No,
The
because it's
people that
not
you're
true.
picking are not the ones to maybe have these expectations from.
I think I just work with too many people. Because I work with good people. You're good people,
There's good
right? I like
people. You got
working
good
with you.
people. You got a
There's
circle
some
of
good
people.
people around, but there's just so many people that just like have no regard for other people's. I don't even know if it's a time thing because I don't care when people are late. If they tell me, "Hey, sorry, I'm gonna be late," you know? Or if somebody cancels and they say, "Hey, like, sorry, I gotta cancel. Can we reschedule?" Shit happens. But and if you say you're going to send it at four and you realize, shit, I'm not going to get it to him by four. I should like say something so that maybe he can do something after that, right? But no, TK, nobody,
Do you
nobody.
know what? Do you know what makes people start doing things that they say they're gonna do? A recession.
A
Okay.
recession. You'd fucking
This
think, but
is
some
the
people,
secret to just
some
wiping out
people.
the people who don't do what they say they're gonna do
It's
and
not
bringing
true.
on a whole bunch of people who are doers.
It's not true.
They're
Because
doers, Daryl.
a lot of the people
They
that don't
do
do,
and say the same thing.
there are
Okay.
some of them, TK,
They do
but they're
it. It's
few
true.
and
The
far
words coming out of
between.
their mouths match the actions that their body takes.
Few and far between, and I bet you those people don't have as much as the other ones. That's for sure, TK. This
Interesting
I can
debate for another
guarantee
day.
you. Debate for another day. You know what we shouldn't debate, TK? Like, what reason would anyone have for not subscribing to this channel? Like, and hitting the like button or like sharing the video and going, you know what? Like, I think Josephine Ragdesh would love the show for sure.
Yep.
Josephine probably. Why not just share it with them and say, hey, you
Yep.
might like these guys because like TK's really smart and Daryl's there and maybe you'll like this, right? And sometimes they have great guests like today, TK.
We got a great guest today.
I
Yeah.
think
So
we
like,
do.
comment, and subscribe if you're listening to this video. Also check us out on Apple podcasts as well as
Spotify.
Spotify. Leave a comment, like, follow, however those podcast platforms work. You know, click the buttons
Do something on
until
them.
you
Don't just
like
listen.
what we've got to say, you
Yeah,
know?
don't
So
just
thanks. We
listen.
appreciate you guys, you know?
Be productive with your
Yeah,
time.
we got some great listeners. I think we have the best audience
It's
in
true.
all of the real estate audiences.
I think it's
They're
true.
the
It's
most
true.
like reasonable group of people.
Don't forget to check out our clips channel. And if you are
Yeah.
really bored and have nothing else going on, TikTok, the Assembly King. Okay, TK,
And if
let's
you
get
really
serious.
want a show that is just absolutely dynamic and that you think has got more gold in it than any other show that you can possibly watch,
Yeah.
go
Switch
watch the Tom
channels
Story
now.
Show.
Yeah. Or anything
Because, you know,
else.
we're just hanging out over here having a
That's
good
right.
time. So is our guest in the waiting room, Daryl?
Yeah. Everybody's
Drum
ready to
roll,
rock and roll.
drum roll.
Here we go. Maybe if it works. So much going on, TK. Holy cow. I don't know how we're gonna get to all of this stuff.
We're gonna get to it. That's all.
What?
Because
Well,
we got a
we
time
kind of
limit
got here.
and we're gonna make it work. This is
I
how
don't
we
know
do
what
things.
is the most important thing going on right now, TK, but I mean, we did have an election, didn't we?
Dum dum dum.
We had an election.
I'll tell you who I voted for.
Did you vote?
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't vote.
I voted last year once and it got me nowhere.
It didn't work out, right?
What,
who you voted for didn't win, so it didn't
work.
So you're like, oh, you know what?
Bro.
I didn't, there was no like instant gratification from it. No,
it's Trudeau somehow made it into office. Like, I don't get it. Anyways, there she is. Hello.
Emma.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
How are you doing?
Am I supposed to have this background there or what?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. Restart. All right, background, guys. Let's go. Send her
get
the background.
Minions. Get the minions back in. No, this is perfect.
I was thinking like,
we're rocking
okay,
and
like,
rolling.
How do I introduce you? Because you're not our first time, the first time on our show, because you've been on our show, but I feel like we shortchanged the listeners. We didn't get the whole Emma Pace from
the last time. It was a group session, right?
Yeah, the
new
year.
Like a live thing. Wasn't it a live one?
It was alive. It was with Tom and it's on there. Nolan, or what? I can't remember if Nolan was on.
Best of the best. The best of the best.
Yeah. This is like an all-star show. It was
so
an
today
all-star
we get to get,
show.
Yeah, we get to go deep down with you today, one-on-one, or maybe two-on-one, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you're
going to
have to edit that out for sure, Tico.
That's okay.
That
didn't come out right at all on any level. So
no,
we're happy to have you, Emma.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Maybe it was the lightning that started the forest fires that struck your light as well.
You know what? Actually, the fact that you said that, I think that I had a surge in here that shut off my computer, and I'm wondering if it surged that light.
Did you start the $40 fires light with your $40 light?
I might have.
Oh my God. I'm not kidding though. It's crazy. I went outside again this morning. It was like, fucking fires are still going.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody needs to fire this fire staff here. Like, what are they doing?
I don't think that's that simple
just to be able to turn
get rid of the firefighters. I mean, they're obviously not
they're
doing
not even
jobs,
working
right
they yeah. don't even
the
work
are they
anymore
doing?
and the society we live in, like, this is a conversation I had today, and I was like, all right, my younger son has to go to soccer tonight, and I'm like, all right, you know, soccer, and it's at 7 or 6:30, and so
yeah,
I told my
wear
wife,
a
like,
mask.
This is, you know, it's time for soccer night tonight. You know, I've
you
got something going
oxygen.
On. Can you take him to soccer? And she's like, but what about the air quality?
That's right. There's warnings everywhere, man.
What are you talking about? He's
like,
got soccer.
Have
if
you
I break
seen
down the cost? That's at least $10 I've paid for that hour session. He's going.
Yeah. He's
get
going.
Get him huffing and puffing. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's gonna like it. He'll probably start smoking or vaping at some point. Like, just get him
exactly.
out there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. But the fires. I was listening to this video where they were talking about the effects of this on real estate that I thought was pretty interesting, and so. Not here in Ontario yet, although in some northern parts, they're probably having to move. But like, a lot of people are getting displaced, because if you've seen any of the videos, you know that these fires are really fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah,
and there's
sure.
like, if there's this much smoke here, like imagine being like a mile away or a kilometer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
So there's all these people being displaced. And so we're in a housing crisis. Like, there's nothing to buy and there's nothing to rent. And now you've got all these houses that are disappearing and being moved from. And now, like, it's not like you have a single person going to look for an apartment. You got a family getting displaced, you know?
Yeah. No, seriously.
And so, like, there's all of these weird effects that, you know, we don't even really get or think of that. I mean, imagine all these families are looking for a place to live right now. Where are they going to go? Like, hotels are full and condos are sold and rent is like, what are you going to do now? And then you got to wait for like insurance to get you a clearance to rent something. Like, what the heck? Can you imagine what's going on right now and what's going to keep going on? Like, it's getting worse, not better.
Yeah. And you're going to have these landlords that are going to start jacking up rents. Or jacking up the Airbnb prices or whatever they happen to be.
Airbnb to the rescue. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Can we blame them though? Right? Like, can we blame them? Like, if you put something on them, and sometimes it's not even that they jack it up. You know how this works, Emma, is that people just sometimes want to try a higher price because they just want to, oh, let me just see if, you know, anybody's willing to pay me 1800 or 3000 or whatever the number is. That's a little bit higher than the last guy.
It's an investment, for God's sake.
Got more competition in it. They have to kind of whittle down to a price that's more realistic with the market. But then all of a sudden they get someone who brings the application in the first day or the first week and says, look, I want to take it. There you go. Inflation on rents.
Yeah. I mean, I think, it's one of these things where it's kind of like the perfect out for an investor, because I see so many investors that are leaving Ontario right now just as a result of like landlord tenant board. You can't get people out. Like, you know, I took my place back downtown. I had a tenant in there and I moved back into it. And it's like, the guy left the place a freaking disaster. Like, you know, and it's all these things. And so you've got all these investors that are leaving Ontario. And so like an opportunity like this is where someone goes, all right, well, I'll just jack up the rents, get some people in there. They'll pay, or their landlord will pay, or their insurance company's going to pay one way or the other. Maybe they're out of pocket, but somebody else will probably foot the bill for them. We'll crank it up. And then what I know is that I can get them out of there because they're not going to stay here forever at this rate. And then at least I get some tenant turnover and I don't have to deal with like the landlord and tenant board is what I imagine they're probably doing up there. It's just like,
if they leave, if they pay, if yeah. they decide if they not to squat leave, for 9 months.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants to take that?
About, just to clarify here, just because I don't want anyone to get any ideas from what Emma just said here. Okay. She was talking about raising the rents as their way out, not burning the place down. Okay, yeah. So if that that's was your plan on how to get discussion. Out of the real estate investment trap, then just don't do that. Okay, jack up your rents and
yeah, turn it's over interesting.
No, but I'm glad he said that because that just happened again in Oakville, right? We saw it in Vaughan or Woodbridge a few weeks ago, right? We saw it like a couple days ago. 10 houses just burned down.
What are your thoughts, Emma? What happened? What do you think happened? We won't tell anybody.
I don't like that. I don't like to speculate on that kind of stuff, but I think it's a bit fishy. I think it's a bit suspect. A
little suspect.
So seems suspect, little, right? Like yeah, two housing developments under construction, one in Vaughan, one in Oakville, both going up in flames these times.
Yeah. It's unusual for sure. It's unusual. Mm-hmm. Tough times out here, man. Tough times out here. People are trying to find all sorts of different ways to kind of cash in and make some money. And I don't want to say like you can't blame people, but like people are freaking squeezed harder.
What are your clients saying? Like what you're going, you're meeting people right now on the ground. What are they saying
you know,
right now?
Like kind of my thought process on this whole thing, or like just kind of like my gut check or sentiment on like what the heck is going on out here right now is like, a good analogy for it is like, you know, when you put Mentos in a pop bottle and then like the shit just goes crazy, right? I kind of feel like someone dropped Mentos in a pop bottle, then just like squeezed the cap back on. And like the cap is interest rates, right? And so it's like, you know, having that cap, I was like, how long is the cap going to be on this thing for? And so what I'm seeing, at least on our side of things, is like, there's an intense amount of buyer demand. There's, you know, we've seen some more inventory, but it's still relatively low for the number of people that are out there. And so it's like, we have low inventory. We still have a lot of demand, but it's being held a little bit at bay by this cap on the pop bottle. So it's kind of like you have this whole thing kind of brewing inside this bottle, and the thing that's kind of holding it down right now, I think, are rates, or at least like whether it's Bank of Canada flexing and saying that they're going to do more. Like there's a couple different, you know, whether they actually take action on it or they leave the sentiment in the market that they're going to take action on it, it still kind of gets in the back of people's brains and it could prolong their decision making. But I think right now it's like, on our side, our buyers are still being aggressive in terms of putting in offers, but they're much more poised in terms of what they would be willing to go to on an offer in comparison to a Feb 2022 COVID, like, you know, 2020 type of
thing. Hey, whatever, just get it.
Yeah, just like get me the house. Where now I think people are like, I want to offer, but I'm going to be more poised in my decision making. And if I don't get it at this price, I'm okay with it.
TK and I had that conversation when I was buying a house. He was like, Daryl, like maybe you should go get pre-qualified. And I said, TK, don't worry about it. Get us the house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But this is what people were able to do then. But now, like you're saying, you got to be a little smarter. But still, hold on a sec. You're saying that the interest rates are the cap on the Mentos Coke combination. But yeah. I'm looking at an article right here that says Canadian housing market has huge Q2. But challenges loom ahead.
Yeah.
So, just a quick question.
But hold on a sec. So the demand doesn't seem to not be there. Like what is it capping at the moment? Because prices are going up, demand's still here. The only thing that used to be kind of capped seemed like the inventory, but that seems to be
coming back a little bit. Well, I mean, we're still in an upward trend. Like I think the craziest part is if you actually look at like year to date numbers. And then you look at, you know, Toronto and the suburban markets, and then just kind of like the GTA as a whole, I think it was like we're up 15.3% cumulatively across the GTA as a whole from Jan 1, right? And so Toronto right now, we are down 1.1% from the peak of the market. Maybe that changes in when we get the numbers for June. Like, that might change. We might actually be over.
If anything, even, right? Like, maybe.
Yeah, even. Close to. But yeah. That's something to be said. Like, we're back at the peak of the market in Toronto. Like, ever. Right? And I still think that people are being more poised than what they will be in the future. So I'm not saying, I still think the market's going up and there's like this storm brewing in the bottle. But as soon as the cap pulls off, it's just people start to go into that like crazy, like rampant mode of, I want to buy these houses. And I actually like the way that buyers are working right now, because I think they're being a little, they're not letting their emotions drive their decision making nearly as much right now, because they have other variables where they're like, I don't know, man, like groceries cost too much, my gas is freaking expensive. To make a decision on $200-$300 a month extra on my mortgage payment, I actually think about it now, where before they're like, fuck it, $500 a month, let's go, like I'm spending that much money at the bar. And now they're like, I'm not going to the bar anymore, I'm drinking at home because everything else is so expensive. So I like the decision making process, or the logic that buyers are using more so now in today's market. But I very easily could see that going by the wayside, because there are still so many people out there that just, they want to be homeowners, right? Like, that's the dream.
Well, let's refine the analogy. So I think we've got the Mentos in the bottle. It's exploding like crazy, and somebody's up here with the cap trying to get it down on the explosion, but it's still seemingly like pretty fucking crazy market.
There's some gas leaking out.
Yeah,
it's on
yeah.
Fire for real, and it's smoking like crazy.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now, it's it? It's, yeah, I don't know, man. It's crazy. Interesting.
But you, it feels feel- like that. I'm sorry. It feels like what you're saying. Like, it feels like the market should be fucked up and slow, right? Like, but you guys keep talking about bidding wars. I was at lunch selling. With a guy yesterday, and he's telling me about the process of selling, and it wasn't like, You set a date to lead up to the sale. He goes, you set a date to lead up to the bidding war. And I was like, that's such an interesting way of looking at the process. There's something wrong with that. And it's still the process, which is even crazier. With all we've gone through, the process is still kind of listed a little low and see what the market does with it.
To that point, though, one hack for any, you know, for anybody that's watching this that's looking to buy a house right now, most sellers are still structuring their marketing tactic towards the bidding war, like what I would call like a more modern strategy, right? It's not something traditional where it's like pay the price you see. So if there is a time delay between when they list and when they're looking to review offers, if they have a particular date set for closing, like if there's one date set for closing, you should be trying bullies right now. And I think people have like this PTSD of bully offers from before, where like, if I put in a bully offer, I'm way overpaying, like I'm just paying early to get the deal done. But I also think, because of, you know, there are scary media out there right now, and I think there's some sellers who have gone back to committing to purchasing a property first. Like, people, like sellers are back in the position now where like they're buying a property before they list. That went away for a while, and like that strategy's back, right? So if someone's selling their house, more often than not now they've purchased something else first, and they're going to sell their house later because
are you seeing that too, TK? Are you seeing that as well?
Well, yeah, definitely. Like, our clients, this past few months has been buy first again. But for
wrong with everybody.
9 months before that, it wasn't. Like, whoa, maybe we should think about this, right?
And it was like, okay, first. So that was, you know, the buyers have like the logic now. The sellers have gone back to, okay, let's buy the other thing. We'll sell the house. It's going to get sold.
Yeah. And it's a seller's market. So if
there's a time delay for a buyer out there right now, if you're looking at a property and there's a time delay between listing and when they're going to review offers, and they have a particular date set for occupancy.
Yes.
Definitely,
now you know.
Try a bully. Like, you might be able to lock it down for
August 19th, hey?
Yeah, exactly. But you might be able to actually lock it down for less than what you might get it for on offer night, because the seller might be freaking out like, oh shit, like I just, you know, what do they say? A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush or whatever.
Right? And August 19th with a 1 week rent back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, read between the lines.
So I have a question though. in-person offer presentations. How many have you been on to present either you as a buyer agent presenting face-to-face to the sellers or vice versa, you're representing the seller and having a buyer agent present to your clients? How many have you done in the last, like, I don't know, 2 years?
In the last 2 years, zero. Like, what's the point?
Okay, I'm just asking. Why? Like, is this something that anybody has been, you know, asking for? Is this something that you've heard people doing?
I honestly think
if
someone went back with that strategy, because you have to understand, like, how many agents have actually come into the industry in the last, since COVID, let's say, right? Like, I run it deep.
It's been
3 years. Most of my guys have got their license from, like, let's say 2019, 2020. When I told them that we used to go in person, they were like, what? I'm like, I remember one time.
What about during the winter?
Yeah, this dude, I don't know why he did this. This is ridiculous. So it was Milton. There was 45 offers. Buddy's like, yeah, every single person needs to come and present in person. We're taking up, all of the agents are taking up the entire street, right? Like, they're parked, their clients are there.
There's like
150 cars, like, on this, like, street in Milton. And you walk in, and the dude has the Leafs game on. He's got the Leafs game on with his client, and they're just sitting there like, so what's your offer? You're like, this. It's like, not even close. I'm like, why did we just drive to Milton? My clients came from Ajax.
Not even close.
Like, yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, like, I'm not going to give you the opportunity to improve. I'm like, why would you ask 45 people to come in here in the middle of the Leafs game?
That makes
no sense.
Yeah. But let's just clarify.
It was a ridiculous. It was some ridiculous price too.
Then it worked.
In the day and age of Broker Bay, before, like, nobody trusted anyone, when you would have your listing and everyone would be outside waiting, whether it was five agents or 10 agents or 30 agents, everyone would see each other going inside the house.
Yeah.
And this creates a frenzy. So this creates now this opportunity where everyone goes, wow, look at how many people are interested in this home. And you could end up getting more money for the seller. Right.
For sure.
And that's what happened. It was a strategy that people would use. And then also it's just good to work with agents one-on-one. And it was something that we always did, even when there was no other offers, believe it or not, all offers were presented before.
Yeah,
you know, the use of email and PDFs and all that stuff. But since COVID, now Broker Bay, I believe, is trusted. So when you see that there's no offer notifications, you're like, okay, Emma really does have three offers. It's like in writing through Broker Bay, telling me it's notified through her brokerage. It's like, confirmed.
It's validated. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, they make you upload the 801. I'm sure there's ways that people can, I mean, I've never even thought about it until this moment, but I'm sure if you wanted to, like, make a fake 801 and then take a picture of it, Broker Bay, maybe with AI, they'll be able to detect the validity of it and make sure that it's, like, not your own name on your own thing. But I've never seen anybody do that. So I think that they have put these kind of checks and balances in place to be able to, you know, remove those concerns. And I definitely think that they should have implemented it, because there are agents who were just, they're talking out their ass saying that there's offers there that there weren't. And then people were essentially bidding against themselves. But the one thing that I did, you know, there's a lot of the components of the in-person offer presentation that I was like, this is archaic. I don't understand why we're doing this. But the one thing that I would say is, if you're actually someone who can read body language, that was where you could really test your true negotiation skills.
As a buyer agent.
As a buyer's agent.
Both. Both sides. Both sides, for sure.
But as a buyer's agent, it was the one thing, like, you know, and I do a lot of phone training. Like, I came from Zucasa, so my entire business is built over the phone. So I think I'm decent at, you know, tonality and question asking and all of that kind of stuff. But there is something to be said for, like, being belly to belly with someone, and you present an offer and, like, all these strategies, like, you know, toss the paperwork out there and don't say anything, and then just stare them in the eye. And I remember one of my buddies told me to do that. He's like, don't say anything. You just submit the paperwork and then just stare them in the eye while they read it. Yeah. And you just see them and they're like, they throw it back. You're like, I guess we're not very close. Or you see them and they're like, look at their client like that. You're like, damn, it must be pretty good in comparison to the other ones. But you don't get that over the phone, right?
Yeah. I had a guy one time, and he was just sitting there, and it was just like, the kids are outside. They're going crazy. We have to get this house. We've lost 10 offers already. They're ready to just, what number? And the offers, Daryl, they would come in with blank offers.
Sure.
These guys would come in with blank offers with no number and just say, what number do you need me to put on the piece of paper? I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
You
know,
this is what would happen. But you wouldn't get that in today. So there are things So, you know, I'm playing with it, you know, like maybe I do a hybrid and I say, look, if you want an opportunity to come in and present to my client, it's there. I'm going there.
Yeah.
You want to come present? Great. You want to send it to me through email? That's also okay. We'll present it equally and you'll be treated just as fairly as anyone else.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's, I think if you made it a mandatory thing, it would bite you in the butt these days. Yeah. No, before, but I don't think it did.
Why would you not want to go? It's so dumb. Like, look, the sometimes the sale is made on that, like, physical touch on the shoulder, like, hey buddy, nice to meet you, or like, why don't, you know, maybe you realize you kind of get along really well and you could go out for lunch and have a good conversation. Like, yeah, you don't get that on a phone call or Zoom the same way. So like, there's something to be said for that old school in-person connection when it comes to especially crazy markets with 45 offers in Milton.
Yeah.
Right. But you hit the nail on the head, I think, for sure. It's like, you just have to look at somebody's face and their shoulders a little bit to see where you're at with this thing. Right. And in person, you know, you don't have to give it to them to get that idea. You can have a conversation. Like, if I was around this, would it be cool? Right. Yeah. And you wait for your sign. Right. But like, people, they want to like go in the McDonald's drive-thru and press send on the phone while they're listening.
It's pretty nice though, Daryl. It's pretty nice when you can just be like doing 10 different things and at the same time submitting offers. And
I think like the like, to play devil's advocate to that, like, I agree with you that I think from a negotiation perspective, there is no replacing the face-to-face thing. Like, I feel in any capacity, if I'm face-to-face with somebody, I'm going to be able to extract more information, but I feel like I'm very close to it on the phone based on my experience. I don't think most agents are, but that's because I've built my business on the phone over like a decade, right? And I was on the phone before that. However, where it becomes a slippery slope as an agent is sometimes your clients want to toss in throwaway offers and they expect you to drive there to toss in a throwaway offer. And I've spent way too much of my early career away from my family and away from my friends because I was like, I want to do this for my clients. And honestly, I got kind of run ragged. And I think those things are the reason why a lot of agents would get out of the industry, because they are like, I wasn't equipped to have this. I was spending way too much time on the road, like all that kind of stuff. So I think that there is this fine balance. But
they wanted the money, right? They were fine with the money. They just didn't want to like do the work that you needed to do to get the money, right?
It's different, Daryl, when you have to do things over and over and over again, and then you get paid zero. And that if you don't sell a lot of properties. So what Emma's talking about is the examples of the people who leave the industry. So after 2 years in the industry and you've sold 3 houses and you worked with 11 people, which means 8 people you did a lot of work for, but then nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard.
But that's where the money's made. The money's made when you're not making the money. Right. That's the secret.
Sure. The money is made 9 to 5 when you're like, the offer presentation and going on showings is a byproduct of the money making activities, right? The money making activities in real estate is not putting in the offers. That's a byproduct of you doing the right things, which is acquiring clients. Because the truth is, especially when you're early on in your career, and I can speak to this, you're like, well, fuck, I don't have a lot of experience. Like, I'm going to take whatever clients I can get because I need the experience. But you want to know what's a way better strategy? Call more fucking people and get more clients, because then you're like, I can actually choose the ones that respect me and that aren't putting in these throwaway offers and aren't, they're like, I'm not going to make
it. That's exactly it. That's the not making money time that makes you the fucking money, right? It's doing the stuff where you don't make the money and going like to Milton for no fucking reason 8 times that eventually makes you money, right? But it's, those people leave because they don't want to do what it takes to make the money. And then later when you're like TK, you can sit around and tell other people to send stuff for you and do stuff for you.
Listen, I'm going everywhere all the time. And you can have a team underneath
you. But you get the, no, but you earn the right to do certain things however you want them at a certain point. But at the beginning, you got to do everything and waste time and be away from your family to be successful in this thing.
Emma understands that there is a better way, that you don't have to do that, and that if you put the effort in,
That's the point, is that like, yeah. I think you can have a lot of success without that. I'm saying like, that is a proven track. What you're saying is a proven way to have success. Yeah. But in my opinion, I went down that path because when I started, there was no DocuSign. Like, you had to like drive to people's houses to like get the shit signed, which sucked. But you start to get these efficiencies that come as a result of technology, sure. which is like a blessing and a curse, because then people get lazy and there's a whole another side to it. But, but I also think that there are much more efficient ways to spend your time than driving to someone's house to present the offer in person, even though I know that that will give me the highest likelihood of having success that one time, because I'm reading that one, like, you know, the body language in that moment. However, is there also a way for me to do that over the phone and negotiate five, like, could I do five negotiations at once instead of one negotiation with the highest likelihood? Because mm-hmm. if I'm doing five, I'm probably getting at least one or two of them. So could I leverage my time? And from a business perspective, to me, it's like, I would rather leverage my time more from sense home than drive 10 around, times out of 10. Around yeah. doing sure. random shit.
And now, herein lies part of the issue with the whole market, right? Is that the salespeople have to think this way from a business standpoint, right? To do more volume, like you're saying, yeah. rather than maybe better service on a few things, or just going that extra mile, because it's hard to make enough money to survive without having a million balls up in the air right now. Because especially yeah. in this environment, like, deals don't just go through.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I think the quote unquote better service is like, it might be looked upon as better service if you show up and have a conversation with somebody face to face. But I think where the service, like, I think where most agents actually drop the ball, where they can improve, is that their systems suck. So it's like, yes, Mr. Buyer Seller, I am willing to drive to TK's house to present in person, but the rest yeah. of your process is
horrible. Yeah.
So like, right, it's right, like,
that's exactly how it is.
Yeah, is that exactly one
they buy them a barbecue after closing yeah. and they drive to their offer presentations in person, but like yeah. every other part of their whole thing is like way off.
Horrible.
Just the idea of
comparative market analysis part.
But the idea yeah. of presentation is just kind of dumb all together. Like, it used to be like, you'd get one offer and you'd go there and you'd be like, it's a whole presentation, because like, I sold your fucking house. It's a miracle. But now it's like you're expected to do it over the weekend, right? Like, by next week, you better have it sold or you suck shit right now. Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that it's like, that's obviously just a byproduct of the market. And it's like, you know, everybody wants these, it's like an Amazon society, right? Like, if you can't get it done for me in 48 hours, like, fucking return the thing and give me something else. It's like,
I don't even want to buy it anymore.
But with that being said, like, I think that it's very mitigatable or get aroundable, is like, just be a better salesperson. And I think that's the biggest, I think that's what like the this whole industry needs to realize, is that most people, and that's why so many people have got into the industry since 2019, is because they're like, well, fuck, like, I sell two or three houses, I'm doing okay. And then they get into it and they're like, oh shit, like, you guys made it look so, like, you make it look so easy, when really it's actually, you should probably just improve your sales skills and you should start there, right? Because like, most people are like, I'm going to focus on becoming a specialist on this, and I'm going to, you know, focus on like my comparative market analysis, and like, I'm going to do all these things. But the way that I look at it is like, if I set you up 1,000 dominoes, you know what the easiest way to knock over all the dominoes is? Press the first one and they all fucking fall down. So I find that most agents, they have this whole domino thing set up and they're like, I'm gonna fix this. And then they go back here. And it's like, dude, you're only knocking over like some dominoes at a time. Start with your sales technique and just take some action on prospecting with clients. And even if you suck with the comparative market analysis, you'll still have more clients than most people, because you've just taken more activity to have those conversations.
And now, some of the things that you guys are implementing on your team, Emma, I mean, what does training look like for you guys, and sort of what the philosophy that you guys have? Let's do a little yeah. plug here, because we have a lot of agents who listen to the show too.
Yeah, totally. So I'm, like I said, I'm a huge proponent of the phones. I think phone sales is becoming a little bit of a lost art, and it's interesting to see it start coming back. Like, I've started to see like advertisements for like Tai Lopez, right? Tai Lopez was like the original like course guru, whatever. And guess what? Coming full circle, Tai Lopez phone sales course. Knowledge. And so I see that and I'm like, it's really interesting. So I'm like, it's coming back full circle. So I think it like is this lost art where for me, I'm like, it's, I don't know, it's just always been a part of my business. So for us, we have KPIs and requirements for number of calls that our agents have to make on a weekly basis, number of texts that they have to make, and then number of emails. And then a portion of the email training is how do you use video integrated in your email to help encourage and move the ball up the field so that we can get them on the phone. And so that's kind of like our whole model. And like the bulk of our business is, I mean, my entire business has been built off online leads. And then, you know, the way that my kind of thought process is around building a real estate business is like, you can do it slowly, or you can do it slowly and it's not that much effort, or you can do it like very quickly, but it takes a lot of effort. And so what I think is if you get really good on the phones and you get really good with online leads, you can build a foundation of a client base very quickly. And then that's where your repeat and referral come from. And I think what most people do is they get like one client or two, like their aunt and like their buddy from high school. And then what they do is they like wait for their aunt or their buddy from high school to like give them another thing. And then they're like, oh shit, this is taking me forever. Where for me, I'm like, call 1,000 people, get 5 clients, treat them the same way that you would treat your aunt or your buddy from high school. And then you got 10 here, right? And like, that's how it grows quickly. So it's like, do the kind of shitty work, build a good client base at the beginning, and then that will translate into repeat and referral and the listings and all that kind of stuff. So to me, I'm like, it's predictable, it's systematizable, you can do it. And so I just focus with my guys on building that first layer of their client base, and then they provide tremendous service in terms of getting the repeat and referral there.
And how do we generate these online leads?
Secret here, Daryl. Okay, we can give away.
Is it a secret?
Come on.
It's not like just like Google Ads or something.
I mean, you can do Google Ads for sure. We do like ours are predominantly Facebook, right? So
Facebook ads.
Yeah. So basically, like the way that I built my business was I joined Zucasa because I had no money to do the lead thing. And I think that's the benefit of joining a team, realistically, is the team's going to cover your operating expenses when you don't have money in the bank. And so new agents will look and go, can I get 100% split over here? I'm going to give these guys 50. But then when you become a team leader, you're like, okay, well, you're giving me 50, but I'm still probably spending 25 to 30% of that on operating expenses for your business. So it looks like you're giving up a lot. But we're just paying for you to operate your business, inclusive of leads kind of thing, right?
And ensuring that you actually do what's necessary to have a business.
In accountability, the management all that kind side. Of stuff. Yeah. And so for me, I went to Zucasa because I wanted the training and I wanted the leads because I didn't have any fucking money, to be very honest with you. And I'm like, listen, you guys give me the opportunities and I'll figure out the back end of the transaction. I'll figure out like calling people and then like how to do the offers and the negotiation. So I figured out the back half. And once I had that figured out, I was like, well, now I'll just figure out the front half because I know how to convert the people. And then I went down the online leads, rabbit hole and learned how to do them all myself. So now I run all of the marketing campaigns for Facebook in-house for us. But if you're like, I'm not going to do that much work, Emma, that sounds like a lot of work. I would say interview 5 different companies and ask a couple of like legitimate questions to them. Like, what is the marketing campaign going to look like? Is this something that is copy and paste? Like, am I going to have the exact same marketing campaign as every other realtor? Because a lot of these companies, right, they just copy and paste the same thing over and they just put it in your ads account and then you just hope that they come through. Like, do I have any customization? Am I going to be able to look at this? Do I get to see the back end? Are we going to have calls together to determine how the performance is going to be? Or am I paying you $500 a month for you to like copy and paste my thing, write the friggin' ads with AI, and I'm paying you $500 a month and you're not doing anything for me. And the leads are horrible.
Yeah.
Right. So you can 100% outsource Facebook leads, but I think most people think that Facebook leads are shit and what they actually, they're just shit on the phones.
Cool.
And so that's a big part of obviously the training that you guys provide in house is being able to train people, not just on how to get to people and how to talk to them, but also what to say.
Stick to the script kind of thing, or is it a little loose? Like, I worked in a call center before and I got fired because I changed the script a little bit. I sold that insurance like a motherfucker, but I got fired.
Yeah, well, what were you saying is the real question.
I just took out like a few words here and there that just made it sound like, you know, it was worse.
Like,
but I made it clear, like, you can cancel anytime.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but your house is going to burn down, so you might as well buy the thing.
But right? Like, do you have like a script you give people? Yeah. And is it like you go to the, like, go to the tab, or like you teach them how to talk? Like, how does
Totally. So there's a, you know, we teach them basic, you know, we teach them the intro, we teach them the body, and then we teach them the clothes, and we focus on those three elements in that particular order, because most people say, okay, well, I need to book more appointments, so I'm gonna get better on closing on the phone. And it's like, well, dude, if you can't get anybody on the phone to the point where you're gonna ask them to close, again, it's a domino thing, right?
Right.
So we focus a lot on, what do you say in the intro? What is your tonality sound like? Because I think that's a big thing that people don't understand when it comes to, you know, we were talking about the negotiation before. There are strategies to get somebody to want to stay on the phone with you longer, right? Hey, how are you doing? How's it, you know, how's the weather over?
Let's do one. Give me your best intro. Here, I'm Mr. Butler.
Hey, Mr. Butler?
Yeah, TK Butler. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's Emma calling from Monstera. You downloaded a copy of our list of, you know, condos under 500K. It was just honestly, I was just calling to confirm that you actually got a copy of it.
That was a good intro. That was nice.
That's good. Right? I like that. Yeah.
So then you're like, yeah, like, what's it doesn't going on sound here like with a, this person. Yeah, you're like, yeah, what the heck is going on? Right.
Yeah.
Everything that I did there was intentional.
I was like, this is not going to be good for her, but let's see where it goes. Then I was got me. Cool.
I like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to check your phone now and be like, yeah, I did get
so
it.
So you're like,
I got the list.
How do I answer this?
Do I sound like a salesperson? No.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. I sound like I'm customer service.
Well done.
That would be the, yeah. So that I focus on that for like 2-3 weeks with my guys until I'm like, because if you can't get that perfect,
yeah,
you're not. Well, what's the point of me teaching you the rest? Because no one's staying on the phone with you.
I know when the duct cleaner guys call me from the very first words out of their mouth, and I hang up right away.
They hang up on me because I ask them if they want their ducks.
But think
cleaned.
About it. You train yourself to know what a salesperson sounds like. And right now, Emma, you didn't sound like a salesperson.
No, you sounded like
You were there to help me and to be able to deliver some great info.
Basically, kind of want to sound like your customer service, right? And most people, especially egotistical real estate agents, they want to be like, I'm the number one salesperson and whatever.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to tell you everything I know right now.
They don't care at all.
They don't care at all. So that's the one thing is, I think we interject and we try to sound like this hero. And like my whole concept around it is like, don't really talk about you. It's all about them. Ask them questions about themselves. And you know, we have strategic question asking and stuff like that to get them to kind of open up with us and want to stay on the phone with us. But what I would say is like a good way to know if you're getting better on the phone is when people are like, good question. You'll start to hear that when you get better on the phone. The person on the other end's like, you can literally hear the gears spinning
right,
in their head.
Yeah.
Or they're like, oh, fuck, no one's asked me that question before. That's actually a really good question. Thanks for asking. I hadn't thought about that. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's how like I use my checks and balances with my team is I'll like, you know, I make them do role playing. I make them do call. Like we listen to our calls together on speakerphone and we audit our calls together. That's a part of our team training. And we break it down, be like, okay, we're going to listen to like 15 seconds of this call and they'll come. And don't get me wrong. At the beginning, they're all shit in their pants. They're like, oh my God, Emma's got to listen to my call. I got to put my call on speakerphone. And so it's like the first 2 weeks, people are like wanting to crawl under their desk. They're like, this is horrible. And the third week, they're like, can I listen to my call first, please? I really need some advice. Like when they get comfortable with it, it is the best thing that you could ever do to help their business because they're like, I lost the call here. Where did I lose it? And I'm like, this is the question that you should ask. The next week they come back, like, ask that question. I got the appointment booked. I'm like, done.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like filming a goalie. You know, it's like you need to record. You need to see what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong and see how
you actually call it game
That's
tape.
Great.
So, yeah. That's great.
You call it what? Game changer?
Game tape.
Game tape. Yeah.
Game tape. Yeah.
Game tape.
Sure.
So now crazy. When you go to meet with these people, so just talk about more of the market stuff in general now. So like when you're going to meet with people, your agents are meeting with people, like what are their concerns? What are people saying right now that they're concerned about? I mean,
you know, inflation numbers just came back down now at 3.4%. We just had another rate hike. We got another rate announcement next month. We've got, you know, housing shortages, housing starts are down. Like, what is sort of like the narrative that everybody right now is pushing that the big concerns are?
I mean, I think the concern is that people are, there's still uncertainty. People don't like uncertainty, right? Like, what do they say? A confused mind never buys. A confused mind never takes action. And I think people are really confused. Like, what does the future hold? What does the future lie? So it's like, to give you an example, it's like the objections that you get, right? Like with any kind of sales product, you're going to get like, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, et cetera, et cetera. With us, the additional ones that you get are, I'm waiting for interest rates to come down, or I'm waiting for prices to come down, right? Okay. I want to see what happens with the market. And I think what happens is most agents just kind of take that one and they're like, okay, well, when should I call you back?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that kind of makes sense.
Do a little hybrid here between the market and some of the things that you guys
I can't really give away too many secrets because this objection handler is a team specific.
Is it? Okay. Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Just you personally, Emma, where right now do you think interest rates are going? I mean, next month we got another hike. Like, how do you feel about the short term, mid term, long term forecast for these rates?
I think we have a little bit of a stagnation period. Whether it stays the same or goes up a little bit, I don't think it's going to happen for too much longer. I think once we see the inflationary numbers in the twos, we start to have a conversation about potentially reducing.
But how does it go? How does it get down to two when the cost of housing keeps going up by so much every time it goes up? And like, I don't even think we've felt half of these rate hikes yet. So like, but how does that math even work? So if we were at 3.4% and we're gunning for two and interest rates go up again, right? And all these renewals haven't even happened yet. We're like, all these people that are about to go from 1500 a month to $3,000 a month, or from 1200 to 2500, or $3,000 to $7,000, or people that are had bees that were at $6,000 going to like fucking like bankrupt, basically 12, 13, $15,000, or forced foreclosure.
It's interesting. I agree with work, you though, in like... to a certain extent that like, I kind of feel like we're getting close to the end of the rope of people being able to kind of hold on.
But that's what they had. Isn't
that's what's happening for sure. Like so there's a lot of like credit cards now are starting to show a lot of defaults,
but
we're getting more. There's more people defaulting on mortgages right now. Like there's more delinquencies on mortgages right now. It's rising. I'm getting more people calling me who are definitely in trouble.
In
I sold a power of sale last week.
Have the demand?
The notice of sale. It was like the bank was taking the house and we put it up for sale and saved them from losing the home.
But the demand's there to eat up those poor people's houses. Yeah. This is the
With
thing.
That being said, though, it's like when you get yourself. So here's some advice that I would give to a seller who's maybe in this position, because I'm sure there's going to be some people listening that are like getting pretty close. The sharks are coming for blood as soon as there's an idea that you're in a weak financial position. And so you don't necessarily want to put yourself in a position where you're waiting until the end to have, like, you're like, I have to pull the trigger. It has to be a power of sale, whatever, because the sharks are coming. And the thing is that buyer mentality, their first time buyers would be kind of freaked out about that. They hear power of sale. It's unusual. Like there's some like mystique or like it's a bit unusual. So they're like, is there something wrong with this house? Why couldn't they pay for this? What's going on here? Are they sketchy people? When like that's not necessarily the case, but because there's something different, you start to get the leads that come through who are like, send me all the power of sales and I'm going to like lowball the hell out of them. So if you want to put yourself in the most financial advantageous position and you're getting close to the end of the rope, you're better off making a decision. In my opinion, you're better off making a decision sooner rather than later than showing your cards to be like, actually, I am financially fucked. I have to sell this place, because the likelihood of somebody coming through and giving you the same amount of money by knowing your financial situation when it's advertised.
Yeah.
That's what I told the guy in the Uber.
The issue is not what's right or what's not right. It's just, you're dealing with an irrational person who at this point in time, their whole life is crumbling.
That's
They're
fair.
Trying to hang on for dear life. They want to be able to make those payments. They think that there's going to be some solution. Some lender is going to give them a third mortgage or renew their second, or, you know, their job or their, you know, sometimes the marriage, sometimes there's other things that are happening. And there's just so much pressure that it's like paralysis. They just, they can't move. Yeah. And so they finally will call us because now literally the lender's given them the notice for sale saying like, we're taking the house in 30 days. Like not
right.
like, hey, and those we'll let you get back on track.
Those people, so
then
are
they
fucked.
Finally do something. I know, but this
but
is
in a
listen,
few
this
months
is out there right now. This but is, in, so wait. If they've got a short closing, right, and maybe the house is a little bit messy, right, Emma? Then you might be like, oh, you know, something might be going on here, right? They want immediate possession. Never put immediate possession. That seems desperate, right?
Yeah.
Immediate possession. The house really wasn't cleaned up too much. They just have it on the market right now. Like that could be an opportunity. Or if they got an offer date and there's a specific date, like Emma said, throwing a bully offer. Right. Yeah. You got to know what you're doing out there as a buyer agent. You can
you
got
to be able to read between the lines. I think that's the thing.
So, but you hold on, hold on a sec. There's all these people that this is coming up in the next few months, 100%. Like we all know this, right? There's people that are at the end of their rope, coming up to the end of the rope right now. But so the people that wait till the last second, because we all know there's going to be a bunch of them that wait till the last second. What about all there's got to be a segment of the market that's sitting back going, is this fucking thing worth paying $8,000 a month for, right? I don't care that this is my house, or is it worth paying $5,000 a month for, right? Because my income didn't fucking go up and it's not going up anywhere close to enough. So like, is this thing worth keeping? So now you've got these people that are waiting to the last second to jump into the market. And you got these other people that are probably sitting back going, when should I do this? Because like, I don't think I want to do this. You know, I don't think I want to pay $5,000 a month for this fucking house because it's not worth it. Like, fuck
That's
this
not
shit.
The Canadian attitude, though, Daryl.
I think the Canadian attitude
bankrupt
is
themselves
change.
Maintain that course of home ownership. So. It's crazy.
Some of them will, but I think that, like, as many people are hanging on to the last second, there's got to be as many of those people going, like, this is just stupid. Like, I'm out of here. I'm going to Saskatchewan. I'm going to Calgary. I'm going up like another hour away. I'm going to Milton, like whatever the fuck. Like, how many people can come into Toronto and pay $1.8 million with these interest rates? Like, how is this possible?
I think when you actually do the math, though, and you're like, I'm going to move an hour away. And then you think about all the transactional costs that are associated on both sides. And then you're like, okay, well, do I actually believe that in a reasonable enough time horizon, my payments will come down to something that is more manageable that I can actually maintain? Because if let's say we're assuming that that happens in the next 6 to 12 months, right? Like I would be on the side of assuming that we get back not to where we were, but we get back to more manageable payments than we have right now. Like, I don't know how significantly, but more manageable. If I go and I sell my house and I assume all the costs, the transactional costs of selling my house, and I still have the hope or dream of home ownership, and I go to move to Milton and I pay 1.2 in Milton for a house that I would be happy with and sell my place for 1.8. Is it worth me paying land transfer tax and transactional costs, or am I actually net negative instead of just trying to figure out a way to hold on to my thing at 1.8? Because the shit's not cheap to buy and sell. It's like, you know, it might.
No, I don't even know if
paper.
That's. Yeah.
I've been telling people lately is that okay? Most likely, the house you want to move to that's out of town is further, smaller, and more expensive than you think it is.
Yeah,
because that's
true.
One of those three things will be there. And the thing that the conversations that I'm having a lot right now is renting out your room, renting out a basement, moving into family members' homes and renting out your whole property.
Yeah.
These are the things that right now, Daryl, people will do these things instead of having to sell. You would think, well, just sell, take your money, go and rejuvenate and get back on track. But there's this, there's a lot of emotion in our homes here in Canada. It's very difficult for people to sell their homes.
Yeah. But to that point, that has always been a strategy that I've been a proponent of. Like even in the house that I live in now, I'm like, I'm only buying something if I know in 2 weeks I could convert that basement into something that I need to rent out. Just like for peace of mind for myself. Right. And so that's always been something that I've encouraged to my clients. Like, would you guys consider renting the basement? And there's a lot of people out there that are like, hell no. And I'm like, no. I'm talking about like, would you rather rent your basement out or sell your friggin' house and move somewhere else. And and some people are like, I'd rather sell. And it's like, cool, then this thing makes sense. But if you're already feeling pretty tight on making the payments, is there a way that we could be able to utilize a portion of this property as some type of, like, is there rental income potential in some capacity here for you within a reasonable means? Like, maybe right now the basement doesn't have the kitchen, but could we toss one down there relatively quickly and save you $1,800 a month? Because maybe you're behind by $500 or $600 a month and that's stressing you out. We put someone in the basement. Yeah, it sucks. You lose a portion of your house. You got to deal with tenants. But if that's the thing that's going to keep the house around, I think more people than not would be in a position where they'd at least consider that at this point.
Imagine you got to think about spending 10, 15 grand to get the basement ready while you're going broke, try to figure out if you're going to sell your house. And now the agent's saying, you know what, that's like, why don't you spend 15 grand right now?
Mary play, right?
Yeah. You're lucky.
You go and you just tap into crazy. That RSP or whatever, pension whatever fund or can. Whatever, and you take it
if
out
it
to
means,
be able to
it, if
keep
you
your home,
invest 15 grand yeah. to be to able to your save house. Your house, or you spend 5% to sell the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's like the
not
one,
often does it make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, to me, the math's a lot better on the 15K than paying 5% getting rid of your house.
Plus land transfer tax when you buy, plus the moving costs, then you're going to want to renovate that house because it's not going to have the style that you like. And then you're going to.
This is the real decision. This is me and my wife were driving up north and we were talking and I was like, let's just fucking go. And not to somewhere where there's more land transfer tax and other houses that are 1-4 and downsized to that. I'm like, let's go to a place where we can buy something for cash, not have land transfer tax, where there's no income tax on my income, and I can still do what I freaking do here. And I don't have to worry about anything. Like, let's go to some island somewhere and just chill.
Yeah. Right?
Emma, you could do it. You're on the phones all day. I know I could do it. I just sit in this room all day and tell, you know, just talk to people. I don't do much. I could do it from anywhere. But you know what my wife said? It's like, well, we got to go for dinners and we got to like go downtown and have fun. And like, you can't really do that. And then she starts thinking about family. And like, these are all things I don't give a shit about. Right. Like, I just want to go and not pay so much for everything somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I like the mentality of it, but I think moving that far away from my family, I'd rather
sounds
spend
great.
More money. Sounds great.
And
yeah,
just vacation
I don't know,
when you need it. Yeah.
The thing is that like it's I think a lot more people are considerate. Like, I mean, think about the amount of tax that we pay. That's a whole nother conversation.
Oh my god, I want a vacation in Toronto.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's I mean, it kind of comes full circle to where we started this conversation for feeling you know, you got to feel for people. Like, it's tough times out here and we just kind of got to keep our fingers crossed that we get our feet back on solid ground. And you know, like, nobody wants pain for anybody. I hope there's a way that we can come to some sort of solution.
The soft landing.
Get a mop, everybody.
You heard it here first, folks. Emma Pace says soft landings are on its way.
I don't know if I wish for. I don't know if I necessarily
guaranteed.
There's again. No,
I feel the same way.
A soft landing, and then somebody will be right there to stomp on your head.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I, you know, at the end of the day, what I would say is, look for, always have an exit strategy. You know, I had to do a training with my guys on working with investors yesterday, and to cap off that conversation was always have an exit strategy. So if you're purchasing real estate, you should always have a plan B. Would I be willing to rent this? Would I be willing to rent the whole thing? Would I be willing to rent a portion? Do I have enough equity to like sell? If I sold, would I be we always want to pray for the best. But when you're purchasing real estate, you should look for if this worst. Doesn't pan out the way that I hope it pans out.
Mm-hmm.
What are, you know, am I logic or decision-making process? What's my plan B? And I think some people are getting caught with their pants down right now because they didn't have a plan B.
And their plan A was garbage.
Garbage.
Yeah. It was
stupid.
Yeah, like, it made no
just
sense.
Just ridiculous.
Emma, where can people find you? We got to wrap it up here, but where can people find you?
Instagram is the best. So my Instagram handle is Pace of Base. And so you can find me there. And yeah, if you DM me, it might take me a little bit of time, but I'll definitely get back to you. And yeah, if you're interested in having a conversation, if you're an agent and you want to kind of learn a little bit more about my team or any additional sales training and stuff that I do outside of the team, you can fire me a message at emma.pace@monstera.ca. So my team name is Monstera, but you can send me a message there and we can kind of continue the conversation on that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, beautiful. Another great episode today. Nice to see you just by yourself today. This was good. We got to see more of you. I've watched your channel. I know your content. It's good. People can follow you. Start with social media, start with Instagram, but they can track you down and get more info. And if you're still watching this video and you haven't liked it and you haven't commented, you haven't shared it, you haven't subscribed, you just have to ask yourself one question. Why not? We'll see you next week.